I thought this would be relevant based on where many of you are. So, like we talked about a really advanced strategy, live video and repurposing and all that kind of thing. I want to take a little step back and I want to help Linda to. So, Linda is, and Linda, I'll let you kind of explain your niche and what you're trying to do. But essentially, Linda is wanting to create that framework for her signature program, right? So what we've done previously is we've come up with, you know, how long the program's going to be, what's included in the program. We've come up with a price point, right? Like, what are the inclusions? What are the bonuses? What are the benefits? What Linda's finding now is that she wants more structure so that she doesn't feel like she has to kind of, you know, wing it in terms of, you know, the content or the protocol that she's integrating inside of that program. So, and that's really like that's taking your program to another whole level, right? It's kind of like, and the example I gave Linda is like I use Michelle May quite a bit because you know I used to be a facilitator for her Am I Hungry program. So Michelle May, you know, she sat down and she came up with kind of a flow, a sequence of events, or like a sequence that she can take people through that is designed specifically to help them get from point A, which is kind of a mess, right? Struggling, you know, really stuck in that, you know, that in her case, kind of that bin overeating and binging, you know, restricting and then binging cycle, right? And so she created this, the I think she calls it the what does she call it, Linda? I told you yesterday.
The
The roadmap. Like Michelle May calls it her eating cycle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So her eating cycle, and you guys can look this up to see what I'm talking about. It's like different, it's basically it aligns, it's exactly what she teaches inside of her workshops. So, like the first step in her cycle is why. Okay. Why are you eating in the first place? And that is what her first workshop is. Why are you eating? And now, when I used to teach her content, so I used to teach it in a group, right, in a workshop format, but I also taught it to individuals. So, the way my program was structured was the first session, we would explore why are you eating in the first place? Like, what are the triggers for eating? Are you eating because you're hungry? Are you eating because you're, you know, bored? Are you eating because you're, you know, why are you eating? That is the first step. Then the next step, I'd have to look to see. I can't remember now. Is it what? No, what comes, I think, third. Anyway, so I want to help Linda kind of come up with her, you know, like five or six steps in her process. Does that make sense? Do you want to roll up her sleeves and try to do this? All right. So, all right, Linda. So, why don't you give everyone a little bit of an overview on, you know, your target market? Just kind of share briefly what their struggles and challenges are, and what some of the results are that you want to help them to achieve.
So I'm very new to this. I've been a dietitian. I was actually figuring it out this morning, 35 years, but I've worked in so many different areas. But I'm new to this this private practice thing. So I'm still floundering on. I really feel like my target audience. I have felt like I want it to be those people that have tried and tried and they failed and they're sick of the fad diets, they're sick of the quick fixes and they want to do it for real and feel good in their own skin. On the other hand, I'm also a certified diabetes educator, and so I feel like I could do something there. And I do these grocery store tours. So I was just thinking, actually, I don't my, you know, I'm going down rabbit trails. But I do these grocery store tours where we do start at point A and end up at the finish line with a full complete, how do you manage your carbohydrate content on your
Okay.
plate?
Okay.
I've so
Got it.
that's a different
Yeah, it's a different,
audience.
it's kind of like, okay, Vula, can you see why I thought this would be good for you to hear?
Yeah.
It just is like, Yeah, it's kind of this, it's, there's a lot of crossover with you.
And okay. I actually would have thought about doing maybe some Facebook Lives in the grocery store, like little.
Sure.
But anyway, okay. That's another.
All right. So we want to stay focused. And what we want to accomplish today is we want to come up with just even a preliminary roadmap, mm-hmm. For you to, yeah, just so you know, like, so you're not every single week going, oh my God, I'm so nervous. What am I going to talk about? Mm-hmm. We want to lay that out a little bit in advance. So for example, let me just give you guys an example. Okay. In the work that I do with you guys, there is a sequence, right? There is a sequence. And with very few exceptions, we follow this sequence, right? The first step is to get clear on your target market and niche. What are their pain points and what are the results that they desire? The next step is your what do I do statement. The next step is your signature program. This next step is I teach you how to actually enroll people into your program, right? So it's a sequence. Now, sometimes people come to me and they're like, you know, I already pretty much know that. I want to jump in over here. And like, you know, bottom line is it's flexible. Okay. It is flexible. Ideally, in a perfect world, we will still just briefly make sure that those foundational pieces are in place before we just jump in over here. Right. But so what I want to, does this make sense to everybody? We want to create like kind of your own unique protocol, because this is really part of your brand, just like Michelle May, right? She created that eating cycle, and that, like, that is just what she does. Her entire process is based on those six steps. Okay. So let's focus on your target market. Like the whole diabetes thing, I think that's a whole separate, you know, like, okay, let's face it. Some of your people might also have diabetes, and, but what I want to do here is let's look at the 80-20 rule. What are 80% of the people you want to work with, what do they have? What's their issue?
Okay. They're sick of it. Yeah. They just okay. They want to change.
All right. So is everyone clear on the pain points for Linda, right? They're stuck in the diet mentality. They're sick of it. It's not working. They are confused. They don't know what to do instead, right? They're like, oh my gosh, like I'm, you know, all these, you know, what do I do? Intermittent fasting now? Like, oh my gosh, you know, there's all these things. I don't know what to, they're looking externally for solutions. They don't trust themselves. They feel really crappy about themselves. There's a sense of shame and failure, you know? What do they want instead? Oh my gosh. Like if they could free up some brain space to, you know, do things that give them joy, if they could be, you know, live their lives, without constantly being preoccupied with food rules, if they could look in the mirror and like the reflection they see, wouldn't that be amazing? If they could learn to trust themselves around food, right? That would be awesome too. That's so those are some point. Of the results. So the reason I'm doing this quick review is because the steps that we lay out are designed to help you, your client, to get from point A to point B. Now we're gonna kind of narrow down what we're gonna do in between. So when we think about that, and Linda, we're looking big picture, okay? So I wanna come up with maybe 5 or 6 steps, big picture steps, that they have to learn, experience, do, you know, in order, and they build, right? Generally speaking, an experience like this, it's going to build. It's kind of like organic chemistry, right? Where you can't, like, unless you have nailed chapter 1, you are not going to be able to just like skip to chapter 6. It ain't going to happen, right? So they build. So with that background, what would the first thing your target market, what do they need to learn, do, be, have, experience in order for them to move forward?
They need to be able to identify what Well, why they eat.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to copy Michelle Mays, but that's what it is. They need to, through food logging
Okay.
and whatnot, to identify what is it that drives them.
Okay. All right.
Or their triggers.
So, all right. So I'm going to actually take some notes here. I mean, I got to tell you, I, you know, I agree. Like, why are they eating in the first place? Okay. Now, if anyone has any thoughts or ideas on this, I think it would be really helpful just to hear additional perspective. So for Linda's ideal client, the first thing that she needs to wrap her mind around really is, why is she eating when she eats? Okay. All right. So that's really big picture. That can look like a whole bunch of different things. And so let's come up with like the bigger picture things, just like five or six, and then we can circle back and come up with like some sub modules. And like, okay, so what would some handouts be that would support that learning? Okay, I love it. So why is she eating in the first place? Okay.
So for the, there would be the food journaling, because
okay,
it can help them be more aware.
Okay, so, all right, so food journaling to increase awareness. Okay, cool. Would you teach them, all right, so maybe we wanna flesh out each module before we go big picture. Okay. So, all right, so the why, would, is the why that you're teaching, is it like having to do with hunger triggers, or is the why more related to emotions? Like, how do we get a
more emotions.
Bucket? What's that?
Probably most of the people, it would be related to emotions, the emotions.
Okay. So is that kind of the first lesson you want to teach with the why, is how emotions drive eating? Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So if we take that a step further with the food journaling, then perhaps the lesson is, well, like, I'm just speaking from my own experience here. A lot of people are really disconnected from both eating and their feelings. Oh my goodness. They have a very difficult time even labeling feelings. Not that you're a therapist, but I would say helping them to label feelings would, you know, be in your scope.
So a handout that lists the emotions?
I think I might even have something like that in the Dropbox.
Okay.
Help them to identify feelings. I would say helping them to get clear on when they eat. What are they feeling when they eat? Are they feeling anxious? Are they feeling bored? Are they feeling, like, what are their feelings? Maybe get into the habit of identifying feelings. What do you think? And guys, one thing I'll say is, you know, when we're doing this work and we're helping, you know, like we're creating a, we're creating a protocol that's part of Linda's brand. So the one little tip I will say is, we want to help people get fast wins. And we also want to help them to get micro wins, what I kind of call micro wins, similar to what I said about Facebook Lives. What's an easy first step, so they feel like they're moving forward and actually succeeding. You know, like on the Facebook Live, I posed the question a little differently. It's, you know, what's like an easy win question to ask so that they're engaging. But here, what is like something really kind of easy that they could actually do where they feel like they're moving forward and mastering the material? Maybe journaling about their feelings and like in relation to food, of course. So how about, like, and I'm just throwing this out there, what about if we had them journal, not even journal so much about like quantity, what they're, you know, it depends. I don't know if you want to do that. But to me, the bigger lesson is when you eat, how are you feeling? And then we can start to make the correlation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we want to help people to make, you know, quick wins up front so that they feel like they're actually making progress. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this as well. All right. So first session is about why, mostly connected to emotions and how emotions can trigger eating. Right.
Right.
Okay. So one thing that we're going to want to address eventually, and I don't know if this session is the time or if the next session is, you know, we're not saying you can't eat if you're anxious. Like, we're not teaching them more arbitrary rules. We're just helping them to make observances about themselves. Right. So I think that's important. And then we're going to want to teach them, if they discover that they're eating when they're not hungry and they're stressed, or, you know, like they're discovering that an emotion is driving their eating versus hunger, eventually we're going to want to teach them what to do with that instead. Somehow, right?
Right. I'm writing notes. That's why I'm not saying.
Okay. Okay. Any comments from anyone else on this so far? Okay, cool. All right. So if the first session is about the why in terms of emotions, what do you think the second module, what's the second step? Let's look at it as steps. What is the next thing that they need to understand?
Well, movement does need to be in there because so many people do tie, of course, movement mm-hmm. The rules of exercise can dictate their feelings, but I don't know if we want to go right there yet.
Okay. I think if you want my opinion, I'd probably put it a little lower.
Okay.
Or, you know, a little later.
Okay.
I do think that addressing movement is super important.
Yeah, I think I agree later. I'm just kind of shooting off the top of my head. But I think our customers, our clients are generally going to want, they're going to want to know what to eat. They're going to want some nutrition piece,
okay.
I think right off the bat.
Ah, okay.
I don't know. I would love other people's take on that. Yours, Leslie.
Yeah. All right. All right. So you're saying you think they're going to want that right out of the gate. And all right. So let me ask you this. If you don't start talking about that in session one, are they going to get frustrated?
I don't know.
Okay. Because, I mean,
I should ask them, do they want a guide right away?
And remember, guys, 80-20 rule. It's not going to fit perfectly for 100% of people. We're trying to create something that, generally speaking, is going to be really ideal for, you know, 80% of people that come to you with this issue. So I don't know the answer to that. I think that's a philosophical question. Mm-hmm. In part, like, I think everybody handles it differently, and
I do think the first session, though, they do need to just relax and figure out why they're eating.
All right. Oh, they need to figure out what?
Why they're eating, how their emotions are tied into it, without focusing on any kind of health or nutrition.
So the beauty of you having this roadmap laid out for them mm-hmm. is they're going to know it's coming.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Instead of like it just magically coming up, you know, at some point, and they're like, for the love of God, when is she going to talk about what do I eat? You know, like, what the heck? She's a dietitian, not a therapist. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
So guys, if you have like kind of a roadmap sort of laid out, and people don't need to know what they don't need to know, like, you don't have to like go into like just incredible detail about, okay, this session, we're going to do all this and these are the handouts. And you do have to do that if you're selling a group course, but for one-on-one, you don't really. But nonetheless, I think that's why we're doing this. We're kind of creating a roadmap so that people know, okay, wow, she's covering all the bases here, right? And so they don't come in with that expectation that they're just going to get a handout with, you know, with a diet, which is what unfortunately many people do. And some of you may do that, and that's fine. It's just not what Linda's going to do for her clients. Okay, so, all right, so why, Linda, I have a question for you on the why.
Uh-huh.
So in terms of the why, I feel like one aspect of the why is to help them to assess their hunger and fullness level as well, mm-hmm. right? Are they eating because they're hungry? They're probably so disconnected with their hunger.
Right.
That they probably don't even know. So do we want to include hunger and fullness in the first session, or do we want to do that in the second session? I'm assuming you want to do it.
I would probably do it the first session, but is that not the best approach? I don't know.
I'd say, you know what, let's pencil it in now and we can always go back and tweak it.
I do think that when they journal, they need to go in without having any kind of self-judgment at all.
Okay.
Maybe that hungerfulness is a source of, I don't know.
It could be.
Judgment.
So it could be.
Or is that going to overwhelm them with too much information?
I think that's going to be your call.
Okay.
So... all right. So in terms of, I think we're both in agreement that the why they're eating in terms of, you know, they definitely eventually need to ideally become reacquainted with their innate hunger and fullness cues, mm-hmm. right? We're in agreement there. It's just a matter of when is appropriate. And I think the other big lesson here that's something we want to put in our notes is the teaching the concept that, even if they're not hungry and they want to eat, like they can. If we're not removing that, we're not at all taking that away from them. We're really approaching this like a scientist. We're just gathering mm-hmm. Objective data without judgment. So we are not like, if we teach them the hunger fullness scale and they're like an 8, they're like pretty full, but yet they still want a brownie, mm-hmm. they can still have a brownie. We're not taking that from them. We're just developing awareness around why. Is it because you're stressed? Is it because you're hungry? Okay. So do we want to put that in module 2?
I believe that's okay. Where I would put it.
Okay, cool. All right. So maybe there's two parts of the why. Maybe part one is emotions and part two is hunger.
Okay.
Being, you know, reacquainting with, because, you know, that is a big why. It's like, you know, it's why we're all still here, because when we get hungry, we got to eat and very little else matters. So, you know, to understand that I think is important. So the hunger fullness scale maybe comes in session 2.
I'm reading from Carrie, and that would be what I would also do. Definitely talking about what they learned from their journaling.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that. Thanks, Carrie. That's great. Oh, yeah, both Carries. Absolutely. Yeah, so we've got, you know, there are several people here that have this model. And Vula is kind of in this model, right? Like we're integrating some intuitive eating skills, but she's not really dealing with disordered eating, mm-hmm. right? So her target market are people, women generally, that are really stressed out, super busy, They really don't know how to nourish themselves and their families, and they wouldn't mind shedding a few pounds, right? But the how we're going to get them there is not by, you know, like, you know, the whole diet mentality. Mm-hmm. So it's similar. There's similarities, but it's a little different. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Guys, you're doing great. Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't see your Alicia. Hi, Alicia. You know, my chat box was covering you. Anyway, so Alicia, oh my gosh, yeah, Alicia does very similar, very similar. In fact, I would say Alicia and Vula, your approaches are very, very similar, actually.
I like the myth to success. Is that what Alicia, that you call your program? I like that.
Okay, that's funny. Okay. Okay, oh good, Alicia, only have 5 so far. Hey, that's awesome though. The roadmap has helped, mess to success. I love it. All right, so let's, we're running out of time. So let's see if we can crank out a couple of more big concept ideas, all right? So that you can hang up feeling like, okay, you can always go back and change it, so you're not married to this. But you gotta start somewhere, right? So far, I'm liking what we have. I think it makes a lot of sense. So we're breaking the why into 2 parts. Why you're eating in the first place in terms of emotions, increasing awareness around emotional triggers that drive eating. And then the second step is hunger, like more of the why in terms of hunger and fullness, driving hunger. And I guess the big lesson here is the hunger fullness scale. Mm-hmm. Okay. And really letting them know that, again, this is a judgment-free zone. Like we're just like scientists, we're just gathering data and helping her to increase her awareness. All right. So the question I have is, so the what? Do we want to put the what next?
I would say, what are we going to do about it? Or what do you, or what result, where, I guess the way you've brought it up is, where's your vision, or what is your vision of, but that should have come before.
Actually, I think I'm going off of what you said, which is people want to know what to eat.
Oh, right.
So I
What do I do with this information now? How do I implement it?
Okay.
And I do believe that most people want something a little more concrete about, okay, what do I eat now? Okay.
All right. Does anyone have any thoughts on when, like, what are your thoughts on when Linda might want to introduce the what in this population? Any thoughts on that?
Because I do believe a lot of people are going to come in wanting those something to walk away with.
Okay.
And because these won't all be people that have eating disorders, I think a lot of them will probably have some disordered thinking and disordered eating, but not complete eating disorders.
Absolutely. Completely got that. All right. So I'm looking at what Alicia has to say. Would 2 Y sessions be 1 month? Possibly. Unless we decide to combine those Ys and do it in 1 session. But Linda was afraid that would be too overwhelming for people. What do you think? Alicia, can you take yourself off of mute? Are you available?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just asking because over 1 month, I found that my clients tend to
get antsy,
get stressed about what to eat. A lot of them, even though they don't want a diet, they're very. And we talked about that, yeah. Leslie and I, last time we spoke, was they do. They want to not be on a diet, but they don't know how to do it, and it's very. Scary for them. So a lot of times I work with them on a meal plan that is more about teaching them how to help cook healthfully and build their skills, and then do a lot about trying to get away from food rules, like what to eat, what not to eat, try to help them gradually break away from all the food rules that they have ingrained in their understanding about nutrition.
Okay, great. So it's interesting. And so what I'm hearing loud and clear from Alicia and Linda is that in this market, people want to know what to eat. Otherwise they freak out, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't want people freaking out. We just don't, because that is not going to be good. So do we want to mix the, you know, emotions and start to work on the what right up front so they don't freak? Or is that too much? You tell me. You got to picture yourself delivering this, right?
I could see maybe putting in a little quick segment on just the basic plate method.
Okay.
It's so basic, so simple, but also reminding them you don't have to do this. It's not another food rule. It's just a guide.
Okay.
But I don't know. The first session might be too soon. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, so Carrie has, thank you, Carrie, that's great. Carrie says, maybe tap into their past experiences. Have they noticed that they feel better when they eat certain foods? Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
And what leaves them energized rather than icky? Okay, I really, really like that, because I think it really aligns. So, because, yeah, it aligns with the idea that we're teaching them to trust themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And certain foods make them feel like, maybe certain foods make them feel crappy. And we're not saying don't eat them because it's too much sugar or, you know, too many calories. We're saying, you know, well, how does that make you feel? Like, how does certain foods make you actually feel? Ooh. Mm-hmm. So, what about, now I don't want to like make this super confusing, but one thing that we could do with that is we could front load that concept. Maybe I'm just throwing it out there. You can say no, please say no, because you are the one delivering this, not me. Okay. So what one idea would be based on that. Okay, so what I'm hearing is that people want to know what to eat. Otherwise, they get anxious. You do not want people feeling anxious. You want them to feel like you got them covered. And this goes for everyone, every single person here, okay? You don't want to feel like you're withholding and saving the best stuff for last. You got to get them quick results to the extent possible. I'm not, you know what I mean? No overnight fixes and all that, but you want to appease what they think they want and also give them what we know they need to be successful. That being said, does it make sense to explore how different foods make them feel in session one? I don't know.
I do really like that. And I don't remember who said it just
Carrie,
now.
Carrie Dunham. Brilliant. Yay, thank you.
I know there's the, you know, asking what's worked for them before, but yet I like this because it's identifying which foods make them feel energy and energized, not icky. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I think if they did spend some time journaling and identifying that, I think they would feel like they are moving forward with that.
Okay.
So Brilliant. You think that would go in module into
one.
The first?
Okay. I say we front load.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Alisa, great. Maybe expand on what areas of their life do they feel icky? Can they more broadly see what's affected? Okay.
Like how does, when you eat these foods and you feel icky, like, does it basically permeate into other areas of your life?
Yeah. Yeah. Remember those silos we talked about?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like, how's it spill over? So one other just thought, and this is a question you can pose. What is icky?
Right? I guess that's a very good question.
What end is icky psychological icky? Like I feel guilty and really down on myself because I ate this food, or does it make me physically feel tired and
icky? Well, that's where I would probably ask the client if they would describe how they feel when they eat something that they don't feel they have good results. How would they describe that?
Yeah.
I love the word icky myself, but maybe I should let them come up with a word. I don't know.
Okay. Okay, Alicia. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, we're a little bit over. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And I really appreciate your feedback, Alicia. Awesome. So I think, you know, to me, the takeaway is that in that first session, what's really apparent is that people get anxious if you don't address the what very soon. Mm-hmm. And instead of giving them an external food plan, you know, whatever it is, we're going to help them to drive that process. And one way we're going to do that is through the exploration of how different foods make them feel. And in addition to that, what, you know, like if certain foods make them feel quote unquote icky, does that mean they shouldn't eat it? Or, you know what I mean? Like, to me, it doesn't, if they're feeling guilty for eating it, I don't know if that necessarily means they should avoid it, because that's kind of reinforcing, you know, kind of disordered thinking. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I like what Alisa said too, that you can explore, like, you know, if they are feeling whatever, yucky, icky, bad, you know, what does that mean? And what are the other areas that are impacted? So that sounds like a pretty darn awesome first session. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree.
And then the second session or module could be more focused around the why. You can decide if you want to split why into two parts. Mm-hmm. If you think you can do emotions and hunger in one session, then, you know, it sounds like you think that's too much. So for now, let's say we're going to split that.
And so the second one
is why, based on the, you know, but again, it's really your call. Just my interpretation on this discussion is the first session is about, again, it's more, you know, like you're dipping your toe into the what, mm-hmm. but you're not coming out and saying, here's a list, you know, because that would just, you know, reinforce negative, you know, kind of food, you know, negative behaviors, right?
Right.
So you're exploring how foods make her feel, how different foods make her feel, and are there foods that, you know, make her feel icky, or, you know, however you want to broach that topic. And if so, what does icky mean to her? Does that mean she should avoid icky feeling foods? Or is this an opportunity? Right. And I think at the end, somehow you have to, since they really are anxious about what to eat, like somehow it needs to be like tied together with a little bit of a plan that you help her develop, but you're not like telling her. Mm-hmm. That's my interpretation based on everything. Did I get that right?
Yeah. Okay. I will try to put it into words on paper.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Alisa. Okay. Okay. All right, guys. So